Blog Talk Radio.
Here's Galchenyuk dancing and scores! And now it's Gallagher. Gallagher stepping in and shoots, scores! Alex Galchenyuk up with a drop. Look at it. He's in the line, waiting. Scores!
Well, let me see you.
Oh, my stars! What a stop by Carey Price! Robbing Sidney Crosby!
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net with your host, Chris G.
All right, welcome everybody to episode 195 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, January 21st, 2017. My name is Chris G, and you can follow me on Twitter at ChrisG1980. Since our last episode, Canadiens played four games. They won a couple, and they lost a couple. They beat the New York Rangers by a score of 5-4. Then they lost back-to-back games on Monday against the Red Wings by a score of 1-0. And then on Wednesday, 4-1 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then on Friday night, Canadiens beat the New Jersey Devils by a score of 3-1. What does that mean in the standings for the Canadiens? They have a record of 28-13-6. That gives them 62 points. They have a 10-point lead over the Ottawa Senators and the Boston Bruins. But the Senators do have four games in hand over the Montreal Canadiens. And it's kind of weird to look at the standings this season with all these games in hand, and that's all because of the bye weeks that are in the NHL that every team is going to get once Canadiens get theirs during the month of February. In the Eastern Conference, Canadiens are fourth place. In front of them, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Washington Capitals. Our question of the day for today's episode, in an interview this week, Mark Bergevin mentioned that he's looking for a left-handed puck-moving defenseman and a second-line center by trade deadline. So our question is, what do you think are the chances that the Canadiens that Mark Bergevin is able to acquire both those needs in time for trade deadline? And as well, on the Habs360 Twitter account, there's also a poll question. Canadiens' victory over the New Jersey Devils, is that just one win, or are the Montreal Canadiens back on track? To answer a question of the day, you can do it via our Twitter account at Habs360, and you can also visit the All Habs Facebook page, and you'll be able to leave your comments there as well. And in the third segment, we're going to open our phone lines to you, our listeners, to come in and give your thoughts. And joining us in approximately 20 minutes' time will be Andrew Sadala, guest contributor for allhabs.net, and he's going to join us for a little bit of a roundtable discussion on the latest on the Montreal Canadiens. But joining me for my co-host for today's episode, editor-in-chief and owner of the All Habs Network of Sites, you can follow on Twitter at allhabs, it's Rick Stevens. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm good. I'm a little busy. I'm going to the Twitter account to answer your question of the week because those are really good questions. But otherwise, I'm good. How are you, Chris?
I'm great. And that's the reason why Habs 360 is the most interactive and the most informative podcast that you'll find. No holds barred, I guess. When it comes to Montreal Canadiens on this podcast. So let's get today's episode started.
And now it's time for this week's winners and losers on Habs 360.
And, well, this is the most popular. This is the segment that everybody waits for every Saturday at 2 o'clock Eastern for the live edition, or via iTunes or allhabs.net for the on-demand edition. It's the winners and losers of the week. If it's the first time you're listening, shame on you, but welcome. So this is a segment where myself and Rick, we each choose a winner, we each choose a loser, Montreal Canadiens related over the last 7 days. And, well, we tell you why we made the good choice. And usually the way it happens is I'm right and Rick is wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So let's start off with the losers for this week. And, Rick, I'll let you go first.
Well, you've heard by now, I hope you've heard, that Carey Price is a terrible goaltender. He's awful. He's just lost it. He's forgotten completely how to goaltend. He's focusing right now on being a father. He's given up goaltending. Doesn't practice. He has no interest whatsoever. And just a sieve in net. Of course, that's all nonsense. And no, Carey Price is not my loser of the week. Those who criticize Carey Price, or not that we can criticize him if it's justified. But those who irrationally criticize him, the Carey Price haters, are my losers of the week. And I don't even know where to start with the nonsense that's out there. But first of all, how about that Al Montoya is a better goaltender? Corey Todd on Twitter, who he says he's an ex-hockey player, which I think may have been confined to his driveway. He says, continue playing Montoya. Leave Price out long enough for him to get over what it is, whatever it is that's screwing up his game. Habs loyalist JT on Twitter. Maybe it's time for Habs Montoya to get a few more starts. Couldn't hurt. Well, yeah, it could hurt a lot. And then there's the infamous Tony Marinaro. Now, I know very little about soccer. As you know, Chris, I know very little about soccer, except I have an uncanny ability to pick the World Cup winners, and I don't know how that happens. But I readily admit that I know very little about soccer. But I know more about soccer than Tony Marinaro knows about hockey. And he's just dead wrong on everything. And he's also doesn't have the courage to really defend any of his so-called points. He just, you know, just putting the information out there that Al Montoya now has 4 wins in a row. Yeah. So more Al Montoya there, Tony, or maybe Tony doesn't want Al Montoya. Maybe he wants Mike Condon, because Tony also tweeted the one loss record and goals against average for December and January for Carey Price and for Mike Condon. And of course, Mike Condon's much better. And so, yeah, we want more of Mike Condon. I mean, it's just ridiculous, all of this stuff. It's ludicrous. I mean, you have to look at the losses in the past 10 days, the 4 losses in the past 10 days. The Canadiens had a grand total of 82 shots on goal. That's an average of 20.5 shots per game. Their normal average is 30, well below it, 10 below, a third below. It's even much lower than the worst shot average in the league, which the New Jersey Devils last night, they had 17 or 18 shots on goal. And New Jersey Devils are averaging 27 shots a game. So that in those losses, the Habs weren't generating scoring chances. They weren't drawing penalties. Goal scoring in those 4 games, they're at 0.7 goals per game, 0.75 goals per game, 3 goals total in the 4 losses. And people are blaming Carey Price. It's just absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And, you know, you can have your Montoyas, you can have your Condons if you want on your team, but not on the Montreal Canadiens. Carey Price remains he's not an issue. I think there are so many issues on this team. You know, they turned things around a bit last night against New Jersey, but there are lots of issues on the team, and goaltending certainly is not an issue on this team. But there's even those people in the media that aren't quoting statistics, but they're trying to help Carey with his technique. And I think you have a clip from 690's Mitch Gallo, where he challenged Carey on his goaltending technique.
You think I need to work on my blocker side? Okay.
Yeah, Mitch Gallo. You asked him, you know, you're letting in a lot of blocker goals. And Carey challenged him. He just challenged him right back. You think I need to work on my blocker side? To which you wouldn't know, but Mitch Gallo quickly, you know, cowered and shook his head. No. And Carey said, okay. Yeah. I mean, these people are ridiculous. And Mitch Gallo is an ardent Toronto Maple Leafs fan. So he's happy that, happy to point out any kind of deficiencies that he sees in Carey Price's game. But I really like the way Price answered him and put him in his place, really. What do you think, Chris?
Well, if we talk about that specific question, yeah, I don't think whether it be Mitch Gallo or any reporter or even us, me and you, is are up to tell Carey Price how to play goaltender. I don't think we're in the right position to do that. They're the experts when it comes to Carey Price, Steve, Stefan Waite. They're the ones watching the tape, and any trends that me and you or Mitch Gallo or Tony Marinaro have seen, Stephen Waite already knows about it. I don't think he expects us to call them or send them a tweet and tell them, no, I think you should work on Carey Price's blocker side. If it's something that needs to be worked on, they already know about it, and they're already taking the steps to resolve that. When it comes to Carey Price, last week he was my loser of the week, Carey Price, and I'm nowhere close to being part of the gang that says the Canadians should play Al Montoya more, or they should have kept Mike Condon, or the Canadians should trade Carey Price or not. I'm not even close to that. But I just think that Carey Price is struggling. He was struggling last week as well. And this week, his numbers didn't help with to reassure fans, to reassure me. In the three starts that he had this week, he allowed a total of 9 goals, 4 against the Rangers, 4 against the Penguins, and 1 against the Red Wings. That gave him a save percentage of 886. So that's not a good save percentage to have over the last 3 games. And he's allowed 3 goals or more in 8 out of his last 10 starts. So Carey Price, he's not the number one reason why the Canadiens are losing. I'm not, well, if they lost a couple of games, I'm not there putting the blame on him. I think the defense is where it lacks as well. Canadians have allowed, I think it's 63 shots over the last 3 games or 2 games or whatever the amount is. So that gives about 20 shots a game, which isn't a huge number. But I do think that Carey Price is one of the players that needs to step up. I think the Canadians, Rick, if the Canadians want to go to a long playoff run this year, he'll have to do better than the example of the 886 save percentage that he's had since our last episode.
Yeah, numbers are interesting things because it's how they're interpreted. And if you kind of break it down individually, just look at the game in against Pittsburgh. So coming out of that, Price had a goals against average of 4.00. So for those people that are using his numbers to blame him and point out that he's been bad or he has to get better, they would say he solely earned that 4.00 goals against average. Yet if you watch that game, he was blameless on all but I didn't like the last goal, but the game was over by then. But he was blameless on the first 3 goals. The Penguins just outplayed the Canadians. And defense, as you say, is a huge problem. And so I think using the numbers to say, okay, we're going to hang all these numbers as a noose around the neck of Carey Price is just too simplistic. That's all.
And also, like, if you look at like another, I'm just going to relate different stats. If you look, for example, at the plus minus, if you have a team where all the players are in the plus, and then you have a player who's played like the same amount of games and he's in the minus, it kind of says something on a player. So I'm using that same logic. And when you look around the league, 86 save percentage, it wouldn't put him on the top. It would put him mostly as a struggling goaltender. So that's how I relate the 886 save percentage. It's just, you know, at one point you have to make you have to make the saves. You have to help your team. Speaking of Al Montoya, like Rick mentioned, he had an easy night last night, 16 saves against the New Jersey Devils, as he did get, like Rick mentioned, well, I should say like Tony Marinaro mentioned, his fourth win in a row. And it seems he's going back up. He had gotten a little bit of a slump as well, starting the Columbus game. And it looks like his game is, he's doing his job as a backup goaltender. So let's move on now to my loser of the week. And for mine, we'll go back to last Saturday's game against the New York Rangers. And my loser is the referees on the edge for that game, and the NHL, the command center, the league, whatever you want to call them, I throw them in there. And the reason is, at 6:20 of the second period, Hayes from the New York Rangers, he was in the crease there trying to get a rebound, and then his right skate tangled with Carey Price's right pad, and he dragged him out of the crease, and that led to the Rangers scoring a goal. I can understand the referees because, you know, the game is fast. Maybe if he wasn't looking, he didn't notice what happened. So I can give the benefit of the doubt of the referee that was right there that he didn't see it. But then on the coach challenge, when they reviewed that play, how can you not call that goalie interference? Like, I'm not saying that Kevin Hayes got tangled up with Carey Price on purpose. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think it should have been a penalty either. It's just they got tangled together. But when you drag Carey Price out of the net, he prevented Carey Price from making the stop. And he could have made the stop if he wouldn't have been dragged. If he would not have been dragged. If you look at the replay from the overhead, you saw that he was in position. The league's official position on this one was that the referee confirmed that the incidental contact was outside of the crease between Hayes and Price, and therefore is not considered a goaltender interference. Let's hear what the coach has to say about that play after the game, and then we'll hear from Carey Price.
We were sure 100% that they were going to refuse the call. And like I said, you know, it's a fast game. It's an emotional game. And sometimes, you know, it happens that players get bad nights, and coaches, we could have bad nights, and referees could get bad nights. And we thought tonight that we didn't agree with that call.
Disagree with the call. So that's all I got to really say about it.
So, Rick, for a second week in a row, are you going to agree with the coach?
I'm going to agree with the coach, although I'll add something. Not only do referees have bad nights, the NHL officials in Toronto can have bad nights, and that was a horrendous night. You also remember that Shaw, there was some incidental contact with Ranta, was he pushed in? But that happened quite early on the play, and Ranta still, he was able to recover. He was there for the save, which he didn't make, but yet they waved that goal off. So, okay, I don't understand that, but if that's your rule, then just be consistent. But the Kevin, I've never seen anything like that. Kevin Hayes, as I wrote in my game recap, he dragged Carey Price from the crease to the end boards and down the Zamboni tunnel, and Carey Price had no chance to make the save, and yeah, was reaching back. He could have been there to make the save on Rick Nash. But I don't know. That was bizarre. It was just bizarre. And we see this all the time, that different officials call plays differently. Even sometimes, you know, the same official calls plays differently in the same game. But depending on the night and all of this business about, okay, they go and they look on their, you know, their little iPad with the questionable resolution, and that the league office tends to defer to them. If you have all this equipment, if you have all this technology, just take it out of the referee's hands and have the league the war room be consistent. Because otherwise, we don't know what's a goal and what's not, what's goaltender interference and what's not. And I'm sure the players don't either. You know, the coach was confused. Carey Price disagreed and didn't want to, you know, talk anymore about it. It was bizarre. One of the most bizarre calls of the season so far.
Yeah, I agree. And that just caused pure confusion. All right, so let's move on now to our winners. And Rick, why don't you start with your winner of the week?
How about Alex Galchenyuk? He was injured for a bit, and he came back and didn't light it up right away, and was criticized by the coach. Michelle Therrien said that he's taken a step back. He wasn't at the same level as when he was injured, which seemed to annoy Galchenyuk a little bit. And Galchenyuk, his answer was pretty strong last night with a 3-point night. Overall, in his 29 games, Galchenyuk has 11 goals, 16 assists, 27 points. He has 11 power play points, which is third only to Weber and Radulov. He's got a 22% shooting percentage, which is ridiculous, which is second on the team. And he leads the team 0.93 points per game. It seemed a little bit odd for Therrien to bump him down to the third line, then reuniting him with Pacioretty and Radulov on the power play, and those three combined for all three goals last night. So it was interesting to hear Galchenyuk last night and kind of push back a bit on Therrien's comments.
It's funny you say that, because I think it was made such a big deal out of if I lost my rhythm or if I lost my game and stuff like that. I knew I had to go out there and just play my game. And like I've talked after, you know, the last game, we didn't get a lot of scoring opportunities. And
I thought that was very interesting. He thought it was kind of silly that people. In other words, Therrien thought that he was had lost his game. Nice answer on the ice, a nice answer post game from Alex Galchenyuk. So he's my winner of the week. What do you think?
I think it's a good choice. I think it was a little bit harsh by the coach to put him down to the third line. He had started off the first three games with Pacioretty and Radulov, and we saw the game against the Rangers. He scored a goal pretty quick. I think it was under 1 minute in when he already put a puck behind the net. And if you look at the game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, it just wasn't working for anybody. So I'm not sure why in particular Galchenyuk was the one that was picked on from the coach, but he did have certainly a good answer to the coach. And following the game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, Michel Therrien did say that, you know what, maybe I put him against too many responsibilities right away, right off the bat. So that's what he was putting him down with Andrew Gatto and Shaw. Was he hoping that Galchenyuk would get, I guess, better matchups from against the New Jersey Devils defense? Was he trying to spread out the offense? Who knows what the logic behind it was? But regardless, 3 points against the Devils for Galchenyuk, 4 points since our last episode, 4 points in four games. And if you look at the Canadians down the middle right now, it looks like Galchenyuk, Patanit, and Philip Danault is your top three centers. And that's not bad to have down the middle. And we heard Bergevin is trying to improve that, but we're going to talk about that later on today's episode. My winner of the week, well, it's more than one person. It's going to be the whole unit. It's the power play unit of the Montreal Canadiens. Since our last episode, they went 3-for-11, 27%, which is a higher, a better pace than the number one team in the NHL has. The Columbus Blue Jackets were number one in the power play, had a percentage of 24.6. The Canadiens this week were much better than the Columbus Blue Jackets. And the Canadiens, since the beginning of the season, they're seventh place in the NHL with a 22.6% power play success rate. Let's hear Galchenyuk once again, who spoke about the Canadiens on the power play.
I think we really, you know, made great plays. And we were trying to help each other. Whatever one guy had the puck, you know, we tried to be give him close support and be more involved, not too spread out. And when we had the opportunity to shoot, we would take a shot. And I think that play when I give Razraz, give it to Webbs, you know, he had a lane, boom, shot. You know, we have so much skill on there, and I think we really used it and, you know, just trusted our skill set today.
And the credit as well goes to the Canadiens coaching staff, Michel Therrien and Kirk Muller as well. They tried some different things. They put Galchenyuk on the point, so they went with the four forwards. And if you look at the last night's power play unit, the first power play unit was Pacioretty with Galchenyuk and Radulov, who ended up scoring all the goals, with Weber and Beaulieu at the point. And then the second power play unit, they had Byron Plekanec and Andrew Shaw. Rick, that first power play unit to me looks good, but the second power play unit, I don't know, Byron, Plekanec, and Shaw, doesn't look too scary to me. But Rick, you got to give credit to the Canadiens power play, especially as of late.
Right, and interestingly, you disagreed with Coach Therrien moving Galchenyuk down to the third line, and you're positive about the power play, which, as we all know, Kirk Muller was brought in to look after the power play. So this is something of a revelation too, that you're agreeing with Muller, you're promoting Muller, you're grateful to Muller for the power play, and yet disagreeing with Therrien. I think this is a day we need to mark on the calendar.
Well, I just want to be fair with Terry. When he deserves the credit, we give it to him. But when he deserves the criticism, he should get it as well. I just find that in general, it's very lopsided when it comes to coach. So I'm just trying to be fair, Rick.
Well, it's, of course. But the power plays look very good, particularly with Galchenyuk back. You're right about the second wave. I would hope that you know, Beaulieu has been not bad on the power play, despite his struggles in his own end. He's been good, but it's going to be nice to have, for many reasons, it's going to be nice to have Andrei Markov back, particularly on the power play, and we see that Markov was skating today, so that's very good news.
All right, so those were our winners and our losers of the week. We're going to take our first break here on the Habs 360 podcast. On the other side, we'll be joined by Andrew Sadala, guest contributor for allhabs.net. And we're going to have a little bit roundtable discussion on the Montreal Canadiens and their latest news. Don't forget to answer our question of the day via Twitter at Habs360 or on the All Habs Facebook page. What are the chances the Canadiens get a puck-moving defenseman and the second line center by trade deadline following a recent interview of Michel Bergevin on the radio this week? Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked out hockey cave or fanning. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The team at All Habs wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs 360 Podcast and Anthony from art2canvas.com are pleased to announce the return of the Habs contest this season. The contest will run during every Habs home game in the regular season and will give you the opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of art2canvas.com. Listen to the Habs 360 Podcast and follow Habs 360 and Habs Happy on Twitter for more details. And for high-quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit art2canvas.com. Good luck.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundations, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back. It's episode 195 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, January 21st, 2017. My name is Chris G at the Chris G Magnetti, along with Rick Stevens, editor-in-chief of the All Habs network of sites. You can follow him on Twitter at All Habs. And joining us now on the line to talk some Montreal Canadiens, he's guest contributor for allhabs.net. It's Andrew Sabella. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Doing good. Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us as well.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and it's good to be talking to you guys again, and Rick as well.
Yeah,
all
happy
right,
you're
so,
here.
Thank you very much.
So, Andrew, last night, Canadians beat the New Jersey Devils 3-1 following a two-game losing streak, I guess, against the Detroit Red Wings and the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's a poll question that we posted on the Habs 360 Twitter account. Do you think it was just a win, or are the Canadiens back on track?
Well, I think people have to sort of be realistic in terms of, you know, expectations that they have towards the Montreal Canadiens, right? This is a darn good team. You can't deny the fact that, you know, they're still overall in the league. They're in sixth place. You know, they're eighth in goals against. They're, you know, despite the fact that Carey Price, quote unquote, you know, has had bad performances lately. To be honest with you, I wrote just a win, but only for one reason. I don't think there's going to be any sort of slump, by the Montreal Canadiens. I think we've seen hints of it here and there recently, but truth be told, there's clearly not going to be any of those, the epic collapses that we've witnessed last year. And the only reason they said it's just a win against the New Jersey Devils, and that's not to take anything away from the Devils themselves or the organization, but they're, you know, right outside of the playoff bubble. They're not exactly, you know, a cup-contending team. So I think they're a bit of an inferior opponent, and that's the only reason why I said it's just a win. But I do strongly believe that this is just, it's just going to set off a series of wins by the Canadians. They're playing the Buffalo Sabres tonight. They're hosting them at home. And you'd have to think that they're going to put out a way better effort than they did the last time out at the Bell Center against the Penguins.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. I think that the Devils, they didn't look good last night. But I think it's still good for the conference, for the Canadians. Like you said, a team like the Sabres should be a win for the Canadiens, the Flames, the Islanders. So an easy schedule coming up for the Canadiens. Rick, what did you vote on that poll question?
Yeah, the Devils are a 24th place team in the league. They were playing their backup goalie in Keith Kincaid. And the Canadians were coming in with some, I think, specific agenda items, things on their to-do list, improving their five-on-five play. We talked in the last segment about how their shot totals have been hovering around 20 per game. Their goal scoring has been 0.75 per game in those losses. They haven't been drawing penalties. So all of these things, heavy, you know, a weak penalty kill. All of these things were they wanted to address, I think. And yes, it was a weaker opponent, but I think they did pretty well. The Devils went 0 for 2 on their power play. So check that box off. They were perfect on the penalty kill. Jakob De La Rose seems to be fitting in nicely and proving his value. They scored 3 goals. They had 26 shots on goal. All of those things, we checked those off. They drew 7 penalties. We wanted to see improved even strength play. Give them half a check mark for that. They controlled the neutral zone for sure against a weaker team. They still weren't creating those A-quality scoring chances last night, and we want to see more of that. But I think they took a big step to addressing some of the issues. Now let's see if they can be consistent and do that again, with a better quality opponent.
Yeah, and a better quality opponent that, you know, always gives the Canadians a run for their money. You know, the Buffalo Sabres, in my opinion, are one of the most underrated teams in the National Hockey League. They have a pretty strong offense, all things considered. They have some pretty high-profile names there. And don't forget, against the Devils also, as much as I agree with you, Rick, you know, from a systematic point of view, the Habs really played the system through and through. And kudos to Michel Therrien for all the changes that he made, including, you know, the sort of the motion, I don't want to call it that, but placing Alex Galchenyuk next to Andrew Ghetto and Andrew Shaw. I didn't really see that as a demotion. I think it kind of makes sense for now, but it's just a matter of time before Galchenyuk is back on the first line. And also yesterday they were playing against a depleted offense. You know, like you said, they didn't have the Devils didn't have their number one goaltender in Corey Schneider, and they also were missing Adam Green, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's out with an injury for the time being. So should definitely be an interesting game tonight. And again, it's a matter of making sure you put on a good show in front of your fans, because the last two outings have been very mediocre, to say the least.
And Andrew, Rick and I have been having this discussion that with the Canadians recently, when it comes to the number of goals that they've allowed, Rick has put 0% of the blame on Carey Price. I think that Carey Price has been struggling. I think he needs to get better, and I'm not putting 100% of the blame on Carey Price. So tell Rick why he's wrong.
Well, that's why you invited Andrew. Oh,
wow.
I'm wondering
why. Yeah, that's not a leading question at all, is it, Chris? listen, you know, Rick, I think I have a tendency to agree with Rick, Chris, so I'm sorry, but you're probably going to lose at this game. I'm just telling you now. but Rick made a really, you know, he made a really interesting point. Statistics are exactly that. They're statistics and they're up for interpretation. And of course, there's no denying that, yeah, Carey Price has let in the occasional soft goal. I think overall also his technique has been very un-Price-like, dropping to his knees very early, allowing a lot of goals on his blocker side. Just ask Mitch Gallo of TSN 690, you know, the goaltending expert, apparently. Look, you know, it's the good thing is, look at it this way, that there's still, you know, even with Carey Price playing, you know, very poorly, I don't want to say very poorly because he's still making a lot of key saves in key times. I can't really say that Carey Price has cost the Montreal Canadiens a single game, as far as I'm concerned. Has he let in, one too many soft goals recently? Yeah, I think so. I think, anybody who watches the games knows that. But at the same time, you know, you're still getting – it's still Carey Price. And this guy is a proven winner through and through at every single level that he has ever played, from the juniors, the HL, to, you know, even internationally representing Team Canada. This guy has always won championships and has always been the MVP. So he knows how to bounce back. He knows how to bounce back. And I think the only issue is maybe right now, you know, goaltenders, a lot of their confidence comes from exactly that, from the fact that they have to convince themselves that everything is okay. They have to remind themselves that everything is going to be fine and that they're, you know, you let in a bad goal, that's fine. Focus on the next save. And I'm really not worried for Carey Price. And on that note, I'm really happy to see Al Montoya win a couple of games in a row as well, because he struggled right before the new year for a little bit. So, of course, the injury to Andrei Markov, you know, as much as Markov has slowed down, his brain seems to just be getting sharper and sharper, and his vision and his hockey sense is just absolutely, and you know, damn near impeccable. So I think that's sort of something that's missing as well, the presence of Andrei Markov. But overall, not worried about Carey Price at all. It's just a matter of time before he starts racking up the wins, hopefully starting tonight against the Buffalo Sabres.
And Andrew, there's a message from Matt that had retweet on Twitter. If you're right, he remembers scoring a few goals on New Blocker side. So I think he just wanted me to throw that out there.
He remembers what? Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, he wrote, I remember scoring a few goals on Andrew's blocker side.
Nice.
That's possible. I'm a small guy. You know, I've played ball hockey. I've never played, you know, ice hockey. You know, being Egyptian, I guess, you know, skating isn't necessarily in my blood kind of thing. But, you know.
So we have two guys here that can't skate.
Well, I can skate. I'm just not. You know, I'm maybe not as smooth as someone like, you know, PK Subban is necessarily, but you know, I can hold my own and pick up hockey. I think I can't, there's certain directions I can't turn, you know, like I can't rotate towards my right kind of thing, but you know, I'm definitely not going to be giving any skating clinics anytime soon. That's for sure.
And speaking of Andrei Markov, you spoke about him in your last answer. It's his final year of his contract. If you're Bergevin, what do you do? Do you look to extend Andrei Markov?
I think you make him an offer. I think you tell him, listen, you know, we're moving in a different direction soon enough. Hopefully, Beaulieu finally starts showing some consistency. That's if he doesn't get traded. Mikhail Sergachev should be close to being ready by next year, maybe halfway through the season. Credit to Mark Barberio as well, who's you know, who gets a lot of flack because he has an up and down game here and there, but overall he's done pretty well, I think. Anyways, it just really depends on who his defensive partners are. But you make an offer to Markov, you tell him, look, we'll sign you for one more year at, you know, a discount rate, take it or leave it, or you try to find somebody who's willing to trade for Andrei Markov. I look at the Detroit Red Wings. Yeah, they might be Atlantic Division rivals, but they sure as heck could use some help on the blue line. That's really been their struggle. So if there's a way where you can package, you know, Andrei Markov with a couple of picks maybe or something like that, for, let's say, and I'm just throwing this out there, maybe for like a Henrik Zetterberg, who could fill in the 2C role, you know, it's a heavy contract for sure for Zetterberg, but he doesn't seem to necessarily be slowing down either. I don't think Andrei Markov is back next year unless he accepts a one-year deal on a discount.
So, Andrew, you seem to have a little bit of a bee in your bonnet, as they say, when it comes to the respect or lack of respect given to the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, Max Pacioretty.
Oh, yeah.
Two articles, an article and a follow-up on allhabs.net about the subject. Why don't you just, in the short time we have left, why don't you give a summary of your observations on Pacioretty and the lack of respect?
Sure, I'd love to do that. Listen, first of all, I have to say I was listening to the podcast from the beginning, and Rick, you've been pointing out that you know, the mainstream media has been disrespectful towards some of the players. I'm not necessarily looking to make a living off of, you know, calling out the mainstream media for questionable journalistic practices. But there have been instances where when Max Pacioretty started the season off, his first 22 games were unspectacular. He had 5 goals and I believe 14 points overall. And people, you know, started being really, really disrespectful towards him. Certain media outlets that I prefer not to name right now, you guys can definitely go check out my my articles on the allhabs.net website, painted him in a very negative light. And I just found that wholly disrespectful towards the captain of the most storied franchise in the National Hockey League. Even, I think, right after training camp, somebody had the courage to ask Max Pacioretty, are you going to give your captaincy to Shea Weber? I mean, what kind of a boneheaded question is that? How could you be so disrespectful to somebody who's proven himself over and over and over again for this organization, who always faces the music, who's always there to answer questions before, after practices and games, who always tells it like it is and seems to be well-respected and adored by journalists, but for some reason, I felt like maybe there was some kind of conspiracy to push Max Pacioretty out of Montreal, when in reality, I mean, look at his stats, his goals, like the streak that he's on right now, the amount of game-winning goals that he scored just in the last 5 years alone. I mean, I was just kind of disgusted by the way people have treated him, especially in the mainstream media. And then I find it kind of funny that a month and a half, approximately, after I, you know, wrote the article saying we need to respect Max Pacioretty because he damn well deserves it, a lot of mainstream members, members of the mainstream media started saying things along the lines of, oh, you know what, Pacioretty deserves respect now, and he deserves respect. Now, I'm not saying I'm the only person who said it, but I felt like he deserved to have respect even while he was slumping. And that sort of covers it. You know, I have no issue quoting articles or tweets or whatever it may be where people are just being, you know, rude or downplaying Max Pacioretty's achievements and his leadership capabilities. I highly doubt anybody on the Montreal Canadiens team right now looks at Max Pacioretty and says, I'm not sure this guy is our uncontested leader. I think unanimously people know that he's their number one leader, without an ounce of a doubt in my mind, anyways.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a questioning of his leadership, as you said, questioning of his heart, his commitment. And then there was the questioning of his masculinity, which was way over the top. Anyway, to read more, go to allhabs.net and look for Andrew's article. Both articles, both were very good. But
thank you.
We appreciate you joining us. This is this has been great. Glad to have your feedback and your opinions, and do a bit of a roundtable with you this week.
Yeah, thanks very much for joining us, Andrew.
Well, it's my pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me. And sorry, I hogged the mic a little bit. I didn't realize I was doing that.
No problem. All is good. You're our guest here on the Habs 360 podcast. So thank you very much. And I will be reading, looking for your next post as well on allhabs.net. Thanks, Andrew.
Great. Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here on the Habs 360 podcast. On the other side, we're going to tackle our question of the day. Mark Bergevin, he said in an interview that Canadians are looking for a left-handed puck-moving defenseman and a second-line center. What do you think are the chances of him getting that? Let us know via Twitter at Habs360, on the All Habs Facebook page, and our phone lines are open, 1-877-455-4945. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
In every city around the world, sports fans flock to popular watering holes to share a few pints, some good grub, and to cheer for their team. Think your favorite sports bar deserves to be recognized? Or are you traveling to a new place and need to find the perfect spot to watch a game? HockeyPub.com is the answer. Find out where the best spots are in your city to eat, drink, and meet fellow fans. HockeyPub.com. Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Red Websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back. It's episode 195 of the Habs 360 podcast for the Saturday, January 21st, 2017. My name is Chris G, at ChrisG1980 on Twitter, and Rick Stevens, at All Habs, from the allhabs.net website, is the editor-in-chief. Our question of the day that we asked on Twitter and on the All Habs Facebook page is in an interview this week. Mark Bergevin mentioned that Canadians, that he's interested in a left-handed puck-moving defenseman and for a second-line center. So we asked you, our followers, our listeners, what are your thoughts of what are the chances that the Canadians get both prior to a trade deadline? And we can start off with some comments on Twitter. First one comes from Tarts PI. He just replied, ha, ha, ha. So I don't think he's think it's going to happen. Gino from Laval, he writes, slim to none. All the guy does is talk. Talk is cheap. So thank you very much for the tweets. Not much confidence in Bergevin from Gino. Nick from Ottawa, he writes, a defenseman is more important. Next tweet comes from Scott Thompson. And he's asking, and Rick, I'll let you respond to this one, about the Canadians getting Matt Duchene. And he's so excited, Scott, about Matt Duchene, that he's hoping that his flight lands on time for tonight's game against the Sabres.
Well, Matt, I'd love Matt Duchene. I said that during the World Cup, that really love to see what Matt Duchene could do. The issue is, and I've said this before here, that Marc Bergevin knew the situation in the off season. He knew the situation. He knew how his centers were lining up. He knew his needs, but he made some risky assumptions, and he assumed that that David Desharnais would be able to handle, you know, the load that he's never been able to handle before. He made the assumption that Nathan Beaulieu would be able to be that second pairing defenseman, and he's really struggled, not on the offensive side, but on the defensive side. So now he's put into the situation, as you said, that he's looking for the things he should have been looking for in the off season. Second line center and a puck moving defenseman, left-handed puck moving defenseman. So to go and get Matt Duchene right now, great. That would bolster the lineup immensely. But it's always what you have to give up. And at this time of the year, you have to give up a lot, an awful lot. And I don't know that I'd love to have Matt Duchene, but I'm very afraid at what you'd have to give to Colorado to make that happen.
And I think the same when it comes to any trade, whether it comes for the second-line center or the puck-moving defenseman, they're going to have to give up something significant to get any of those two assets. And I don't think the Canadiens right now have anything that's worth that's worth a lot. What are they going to give up? Like, is it to a point where they should give up? I'm not going to say give up. That they're going to trade away a prospect like Sergachev to pick up one of these two needs? Are they going to go and give away somebody like, Noah Juleson? Because if you're looking to give away a player like Beaulieu, who's been struggling, or somebody like Thomas Plekanec, who effectively hasn't had much success this year, and he has a huge cap hit attached to him, or if you want to give away David Dernier, you're not going to get much in return. So, yes, it'd be good to have Duchene or even a puck-moving defenseman, but I don't think the Canadiens have the players to make that kind of trade work. So thank you very much for the tweet, Scott. Mo Bouchard writes, he has to do it now. A lot can change in a calendar year, and Habs will be relatively healthy at deadline day this year. So thank you for the tweet, Mo. And it looks like, you know, it also depends, because Mo brings up a good point, Rick. If the Canadiens think that this is the year they want to go for it, then they might overpay to acquire, whether it be Duchene or any other second-line center to look for.
Yeah, that's the calculation. That's always the calculation, that is this the season? We've talked about the problems that they have. You'd need at least those two pieces to be able to compete, in my estimation. And that's assuming that the rest of the lineup remains healthy. It's a big risk. It's a big risk and risks the future. And like you say, to give up a Sergachev, that sets their plans back a fair ways, because he's supposed to be, and a Juleson. They're the heir apparent to come in and be top four defensemen. And that's very, very risky.
Iron Man writes, better chances to get a center than a decent defenseman. Wouldn't sell the farm goal. Maybe that no can sustain being a long-term solution. So thank you for the tweet. Next one comes from Gino, who is not a fan of Mark Bergman. He writes, he's all talk, no action. Habs still need a lot of help. So thank you for the tweet. Dolores writes, they said Dupin and PK would solve their woes, right? Even sports reports thought they looked better on paper. So thank you for the tweet, Dolores. And then Steven Greer writes, if Habs are to go deep into playoffs, they need a second-line center, and yes, like any other team, the puck-moving defenseman wouldn't hurt. And Bye-Bye from Halifax writes, he wants what every contending team wants. Not enough talent available and too expensive. He cannot sell the future for one run. All this to do with the last part of it, where if we're 100% sure that these changes will bring the cup to the Montreal Canadiens, I think you got to do it, because it's not easy to win a Stanley Cup in the NHL. So thank you very much for the tweet. Rick, what does it look like on the All Habs Facebook page?
On the All Habs Facebook page, we have Teresa Philipot, who said that Hanzel or Duchene, we'd have to pay too much for them. On a smaller scale, go get Anthony Duclair for Hudon or Sven Andrighetto. Well, one of those, either Hudon or Andrighetto, you're not going to get Anthony Duclair for. They're asking an awful lot for Anthony Duclair, and Anthony Duclair doesn't really fit a need. He's not a center. I don't see that happening. Jeremy Foote says trade Fucali for all of their wants, and some other prospects for all of their wants. Fucali's he's doing fine. He's in the ECHL. I don't know what his trade value is. Phil Casey said we don't need a puck moving defenseman. Beaulieu moves the puck well. His problem is in his own end, obviously. Darian Dion says go for Duchene. And again, we've talked about what that would cost. Ron Koffler says he's not going to get anything. They're talking about Bergevin because he sits on his hands every trade deadline. I'm not sure that's true. Tim Sulliveld says, what about Trouba from the Jets? I live in Winnipeg, and I would love to see the Habs acquire him. I love Jacob Trouba. He is a tremendous defenseman, and I'd love to see him on the Habs. Unfortunately, he plays the wrong side, and that's one of the issues that's what led to his holdout early in the season, he wants to play his natural side, the right side, and the Canadians don't have a need, another need for a right-handed puck-moving defenseman. Trouba, great defenseman, unfortunately, just doesn't fill a need. Ernie D'Alessandro says, Colorado is a mess. We don't need Landeskog, and we got rid of a me-only player, so why would we want Matt Duchene? So a lot of mixed opinion. Excuse me, a lot of mixed opinions on the All Habs Facebook page about Bergevin and what he can acquire before the trade deadline.
On the Habs 360 poll question, was it just a win against the Devils or are the Canadiens back on track? David Olinger writes, hold that thought. Habs need to win back-to-back games. They should win, even beat Calgary and the Islanders before say that. And that pretty much echoes what the poll results mentioned as well. 64% of respondents mentioned that it's just a win, and 36% think the Canadiens are back on track. Another one last tweet that we received comes from Habs underscore retweet. It's in regards to our discussion that we had earlier about Carey Price. He writes, those who criticize Carey Price and say that such goalers are better than him are simply infected by the analytics world disease. So thank you for the tweet, Mark.
Listen up. It's time for some bad tweets on Habs 360.
Well, we just read you up some good tweets from our Habs 360 followers and listeners because you guys are the best followers we can have and just simply amazing tweets that you send us. But Rick, out there's some people who don't send good tweets.
That's really true, and we have a whole number of tweets to choose from when it comes to bad tweets. But since you were talking about good tweets, there was a couple that you missed. There was one from, you just mentioned Habs underscore retweet. He said that he's listening live today, and he said Rick is simply, and he did the nice sign. So there's a compliment there. I think he's agreeing with me on most of the issues. So it's important to put that tweet out there as a good tweet. Thanks very much to Habs underscore retweet.
that was a very inappropriate comment.
And what about skills underscore 25, who says she's a big fan of the podcast, huge fan of the podcast, but I'm on Rick's side most of the time. Haha, sorry, Chris. What a great tweet that is. We should have more tweets like that on the show, I think. But our bad tweet of the week, and full disclosure, this came before last night's game where the Canadiens scored three goals all on the power play. But still, the power play has been ranked fifth or sixth all season. PDS, that's at PS Triff, sarcastically says, I'm so happy we brought back Mueller to fix the power play. Oh my God. No wonder this guy can't hold down a job. Awful, awful, awful. And I just think that's our person there hasn't been paying attention to the effect that Mueller's had and the fact that the power play has been one consistent thing that's done well all season long. So that's our bad tweet of the week.
And one more good tweet before we go. It just came in from Jason Sonier in regards to a question of the day. He writes, depends on your definition of second center and puck-moving defenseman. Don't expect Duchene or Cam Fowler to come to the Montreal Canadiens. So Scott, who sent us the tweet earlier,
you know, Jason said not to expect him. So, you know, sorry to if your hopes were up, but it's not happening, according to Jason. So thank you very much, everybody, for your tweets. Rick, thank you very much. It was a great
episode. What a great show, Chris.
Again.
Yeah, it was tremendous. Glad to hear from all the listeners out there, and glad to get their opinions on the broadcast as well.
Thank you very much as well to Andrew Sadala, guest contributor for allhabs.net, who joined us earlier. And go to allhabs.net to read his articles. And if you missed any of our previous episodes, you can go to allhabs.net on the Habs 360 page, and you'll be able to find all our episodes. Thank you very much as well to everybody who listened, everybody who sent in your tweets and your comments as well on the All Habs Facebook page. My name is Chris G. Next Saturday, we're back for an all-star edition of the Habs 360 podcast. Have a good week, everybody.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.